Davey D, hanging out with you, as you know. We talked about it yesterday, that big doings in the state capital of Texas in Austin, in the chambers where we have legislator Wendy Davis, who at this point, at the time of the phone call, is 10 hours in to a historic filibuster. Joining us back on the phone line, we have Carmen Yanez. She talked to us and gave us the lowdown about the fight to push back SB5. Carmen, you're in the state capitol. What is going on there?
Well, this is a pretty historic scene, Davey. I don't know that I've seen anything like it, especially something this big with so many people that's lasted so long. As we talked about earlier, this has been going on. There was a citizen's filibuster that started on Thursday and went through Friday. Testimony was cut short. And Wendy Davis, Senator Wendy Davis from Fort Worth, who is also, by the way, a target for redistricting right now, but she is on the Senate floor filibustering. She has to go until 11:59 p.m. She started about 11 a.m. today, and she started out by reading all of the testimony that did not get to be given during the citizens' filibuster, followed by a long list of letters that her constituents have sent to her in recent days. And I just got word that she is trending worldwide on Twitter now.
Dewhurst, let's talk about him. Who is he and what has he been doing? Because what we're hearing his name, and we're hearing that he's been setting these draconian rules, which include her not being allowed to go to the bathroom. So can you explain to our listeners who Dewhurst is and what he is, what sort of rules he's been implementing?
Yes, Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst. And these, when you talk about draconian rules, so Senator Wendy Davis is certainly in warrior mode right now, because she has not been allowed to eat, drink any water other than what she originally brought in with her. So she probably went through that early on. She's not even allowed to lean on her chair. And in fact, she's already received two warnings. If she gets a third warning, they could vote to take her off of the Senate floor and end the filibuster early. And the second warning she was given was because she was offered a back brace, and the back brace was considered a point of comfort. And so that was considered a violation of the filibustering rules, as if she had leaned on her chair or otherwise given her body some kind of relief. I have seen her on the live streaming stretching a couple of times when her fellow legislators started asking questions and discussing rules. So that's about all the relief she's gotten. So it's pretty intense. I mean, if you ask me, it's pretty crazy behavior. You know, we're talking about women up here fighting male domination, and actually now I'm seeing a lot of men out here as well, and whole families. I mean, I haven't seen people pack the Capitol like this in a long time. There's a line of people wearing orange shirts and clothing that is wrapping around twice around the rotunda, around every side of the Capitol, inside and coming in and out of the actual Senate hearing room. It's as though you were, you know, in a huge line for a club, and they're at capacity, and you're just waiting for people to trickle out. I got here at about 6:45 p.m., and immediately a line just kept forming behind me, and it's clear that after the working hours, people are coming out here in droves. Of course, a bunch of people have been out here since this morning.
Now, these rules, from what I understand, Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst has been making them up as he goes along, because he's allowed to do that?
Yes, he's given a lot of leeway in his position, many would consider this an abuse of power. This isn't the first time we've seen this. A lot of these things have been pulled in the redistricting issues, even in 2003. And of course, again, these are bills this is an omnibus bill, meaning it's wrapped up a bunch of bills that did not pass in the regular session because they didn't have a majority of votes needed, which is 2/3. Here in the special session, they only need a 50% majority, and that is why Senator Wendy Davis is filibustering on the floor. She's doing everything she can to hold them out until 11:59 tonight, just before midnight, when they will no longer be able to vote on this bill. If that's the case, then Rick Perry does have the ability to bring this up once again in a third session. but we're hoping that it doesn't come to that.
Two questions for you, Carmen. One, we heard that she's not allowed to go to the bathroom. How has she been handling that? And two, with this sort of, are any other senators allowed to also filibuster, or is it just one at a time?
It's one at a time. To answer your first question, I don't know how she's doing it up there. I've heard a lot of people make comments that that some of the senators will wear Depends in this situation just to give themselves an extra backup if they absolutely cannot go to the bathroom and have to stay there on the floor. And, you know, she's holding out. She's keeping a very calm demeanor. She has the energy of thousands of people that have been packing the Capitol today. And we can't cheer her on, but our presence is loud. Everybody's wearing orange. Like I said, she's trending worldwide. The support here for her here is overwhelming. People are saying, you know, Wendy for governor. Really, she's gaining a lot of attention and a lot of respect for this act. And actually, what's amazing to see is the overwhelming support also for the people who are here in support. Folks are sending in food and snacks and water and drinks, and there's really a sense of community here supporting it all. So it is pretty astounding to see.
We haven't seen much coverage of this on national news. It may be being picked up now by cable, but if I'm just sitting here in San Francisco, Oakland, I've seen cameras go to Austin to cover small things, you know, maybe a band playing or maybe a shooting or something crazy like that. But this is historic, and there's been no mention of it, not here on the local news in the Bay Area. It wasn't talked about on the L.A. stations, and I'm just wondering how people are dealing with the fact that this is such a historic and very important event, and we have corporate media not talking about it.
Well, this is one of those instances where social media really shows us how powerful a movement can swell without the major news stations covering it. You know, a lot of attention doesn't get paid to local state politics until something like this really sensational happens. And I think that this is going to draw a lot of attention, especially in the upcoming elections that we have in November 14. It'll be very interesting to see how this affects all of that. But, you know, Texas really isn't Texas is a unique state in that it's not just like another one of these southern states. I mean, I hate to stereotype, but, you know, folks make all kinds of comments about what southern states or rural areas will do. And Texas has a very unique political history and a unique position in the country, especially because because Governor Rick Perry has run for president and is considering doing it again, because Bush came from here, and because if anyone has looked into our history at all since the Bush days, our state government has changed so drastically since the days of Ann Richards. Texas was a very Democratic state at one point. So it's going to be interesting, and it says a lot about the future of how these bills are going to play out in other states in the country.
My last question, you mentioned about the redistricting, and with the Supreme Court decision that came down that has tossed out Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act, we had already heard that they're going to immediately put in the voter ID bill that was struck down by the Department of Justice. How is that going to play out in the redistricting that you all are getting ready to deal with, and which you said Wendy Davis is a target for?
She is. She is a target. Wendy Davis comes out of Fort Worth, which, when it comes to party lines, tends to vote Democratic. Actually, much of Dallas, with the exclusion of Tarrant County, tends to vote Democratic. And so redistricting is definitely something that everyone in the Dallas area has dealt with, just like the other big cities.
Hello?
I'm sorry. I lost you there for a second.
Oh, yeah.
So the redistricting is going to be an ongoing issue for all of the major cities. Like I said before, El Paso, San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, and Austin are all coming under fire. The Department of Justice looked at those maps and simply said that it just wasn't constitutional. It wasn't something that they could defend. And yet we're still back and forth on the issue. As far as the voter ID, that is going to be an extremely a large threat. There are a lot of folks who have been fighting against the Voter ID Act. It was Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act that was our main defense in stopping that from taking effect. So there's so many people that would be affected by a requirement for voter ID. It's not just an issue of citizenship. It's simply a way of preventing people from getting to the polls, particularly groups that tend to vote more progressive and for whom it might be a hardship to acquire an ID to get to the polls.
Well, Carmen Yanez, we appreciate you filling us in on what is happening. We're going to check back with folks and see what happens if Wendy Davis is able to make it to 11:59. But at least for this moment in time, with looks like a little bit more than 2.5 hours to go, she's hanging in there. So thank you very much for filling us in.
You're very welcome, Davey. Thanks for following us here in Texas.